How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. A lot of times we would start with the Blue Jays, but something interesting happened last night in the Milwaukee Brewers game. Will Smith gets busted with a little bit of a substance on his arm. It comes down today that he gets an 8-game suspension. So we will start with, when we hear people talk about doctoring up a ball, what exactly does that mean?
Well, they're trying to create a different level of friction, whether more or less. The friction can make the ball do a lot of specific things. There used to be a pitch called a shine ball where they would try to smooth the ball out as much as possible, and it would be almost like throwing a brand new baseball. It would be fairly unpredictable as the air would move across the baseball. Last night I looked at the videotape of Will Smith, and I would be one to bet my left arm that is firm grip. He said it was pine or rosin and sunscreen. Well, I didn't see any rosin on his arm, and I know firm grip. It's a glue-like substance that they use to get different things to stick more, whether it be tape. A lot of guys have used it over the years to help them get a better grip on the baseball. I did not disagree with his comments post-game. You got what you got. And then again, I didn't disagree with Freddy Gonzalez's comments. You know, when you're that blatant, we got to call you on it. I mean, everybody's doing it. There's even guys in the big leagues who have special pockets sewn into their jacket so that they can carry their pine tar rag out to the bullpen and not be seen. I'm okay with it, to be honest with you, because as hard as guys are throwing nowadays, I would much rather they have a decent grip on the ball and not hit me in the head with 97. It's okay. I don't care. I mean, the amount of break that they're going to get on their breaking ball, it's going to be inconsistent. Who knows whether or not it's actually going to make a big difference in the bite of an off-speed pitch. But you got to be smarter about it than he was. I mean, looked to me like he shaves his arms, and then he goes out there and there's, a 4x4-inch square of foreign substance on your arm and it's shining, you're going to get caught. So, I mean, he deserves an 8-game suspension just for stupidity, but if I was in the opposing dugout, I'd have to call him on it. But if I knew he was doing it and he was, being a little bit less obvious about it, I wouldn't say a word because I would know that half of my pitchers were doing it too.
That's interesting that you bring this up because we saw Pineda get busted for it last year, and now Smith gets it this year. But those are the only two examples I can think of where guys have been like full on suspended because of it in the last little bit. But you're saying it's rather prevalent in the big leagues right now. Just guys better at hiding it.
Oh yeah, I've done two of my Zon 101s on household items that can help you get a better grip on a baseball. And he's right, sunscreen and rosin are two things that you can use. When you combine them together, they make for a really sticky substance. Major League Baseball can't tell you not to wear sunscreen, and they're providing a rosin bag, even though it says you're not allowed to alter the color of a baseball with something, and it specifically says rosin in the rule book, but they throw a rosin bag out there on every Major League diamond. I've played with guys and I've played against guys who have done things like scuff baseballs, you stick them, shine them, spit on them. I mean, all kinds of stuff to change the rotation, change the effect that the wind, the air in a major league field has on a baseball. And like I said, I'm okay with the stick them as long as they're not obvious about it.
So from what I'm hearing, it's okay if you do it, just have the common courtesy to hide it a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, there's guys, just hide it a little bit better. Yeah. I mean, guys are sweating. Guys are, out there in short sleeves, during the summertime, they're all wearing sunblock. Another guy that is fairly obvious about it is Clay Buchholz. I mean, give me a break. This guy, I mean, it's 45 degrees outside and his hair is dripping wet. I know a lot of guys that use hair gel. They take a bunch of hair gel out there with them. And the reason why is because when it dries, it's sticky. that it helps your hair stick in place. Well, it's an adhesive type of thing. So they use all kinds of household items. You know, I've had my suspicions about a number of guys over the years using all kinds of stuff, and including, you know, petroleum products that they would put on the back of their tongue. And, you know, I don't have, you know, total proof. I don't have, like, you know, without a doubt proof, but I'd be willing to bet that one of the recent inductees into the Hall of Fame was one of the all-time great flickers in the game's history, because he spent an awful lot of time in the back of his mouth, and I would have never believed it until I saw one of my ex-wives put Vicks VapoRub on her tongue, on the back of her tongue, when she had a cold. So it was kind of an eye-opening moment for me when I saw the guy reach, you know, 5 inches into the back of his throat, and, you know, I get hit with something slick in the eye as his changeup breaks over home plate. That's fairly obvious when it breaks 5 feet the last 10 feet.
All the technology we have, and it's still hair gel and different petroleum products. Baseball is a wonderful sport.
The one thing you don't see too often anymore is guys scuffing it. It's you know, guys like you know, Necro got caught. There was a number of other guys who get caught scuffing balls, and that's pretty easy to figure out. But you know, there's still a handful of guys out there gluing skin colored sandpaper to one or more of their fingers on their glove hand. They hide it right inside their glove. It's skin colored. You can't see it. And if you can scuff the right side of the baseball, you know, the proper side for whichever arm you throw with, you can make the ball do some really funny stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic. Moving on to the Blue Jays, as we are talking with Greg Zahn here on the big show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The Jays getting set to start a 3-game set with the Seattle Mariners this evening. The Jays get a big win last night. R.A. Dickey goes the complete game. And it kind of seems like it's not that the Jays need great pitching. It's just that they need to work their way up to average pitching. R.A. Dickey, though, with a solid outing last night. What did you see from him?
Well, the knuckleball was finally dancing. He and Pete Walker spoke of something that they saw in the tape from 2012. And you know what? Whatever it is that they found, it works, because this is the first time I've seen the knuckleball dance around. It's been kind of flat and tumbling. And, you know, the fact that he hasn't struck a whole lot of guys out, at first I wasn't really alarmed, but as it started to pile up, you know, where he went two whole starts, I think it was, without a strikeout, that was kind of alarming for me. But, you know, I watched last night. He threw a couple of tumblers, one in the first inning and then one later on to Freeze, gave up a couple of home runs. But that'll happen to a knuckleballer. You know, when it's good, it's outstanding. When it's bad, it's one of the worst pitches in the game, because it really doesn't do a whole lot. And you're right about the average pitching. If they can just get average pitching, you look at all the runs that they score, it can be misleading, because, you know, they win by 5, 6, 7 runs. They'll score 7 to 12 runs and win by a ton. They can have to find ways to win those games where they only scored, you know, 3 or 4 runs, and average pitching will sure go a long way to starting that trend.
You mentioned they're going to have to find ways to score some runs in some tighter ball games. They're facing one of the best pitchers in baseball this weekend in Felix Hernandez. That's going to be one of those ones where I can't imagine they get 8 across. Is this offense good enough where they can manufacture runs in that 2-1 game?
As of right now, no. They're getting better, and they're better than they were in years past. But that's been the big thing for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years that I've been covering the ball club. They don't manufacture runs. They're big boys do what they're supposed to do, and that's try to drive the ball for extra bases. But the problem is you've got some of these young little, you know, gnats, fleas, whatever you want to call it, the guys that don't have the legit pop. You know, they fall in love with trying to hit the long ball, especially at the Rogers Center, because it's a bandbox. The ball flies out of that place. And it gets better and better as the summer goes on. So, you know, and I've kind of noticed over the years that, you know, guys are coming to the big leagues with an inability to control the bat. And, you know, that's one of those things that needs to be taught better at the minor league level. They need to be able to bunt, hit and run. Guys just need to know their roles. The guys need to know what kind of hitter they are. And it took me a few years, but my coaching staff, the people that I played for, they just continued to pound it into me that I wasn't a home run hitter. And it wasn't until later in my career when I got what you call man strength as you get into your 30s. You know, I started to hit the double digits, but early on, I knew I was a table setter. I knew I was a role player. I knew I had to move runners. I knew I had to get on base. I had to take a walk whenever I could. And, you know, they need to be preaching more of that and not worry so much about the mechanics of hitting. Everybody has a swing of their own by the time they get to the big league. But the ideology, the approach is something that needs to be taught better, I think, industry-wide, especially in the Blue Jays organization.
Someone who seems to know what role they fit very well is Munenori Kawasaki. He's called up for the Jays today with Devin Travis being placed on the disabled list. What does this fan favorite add to the Blue Jays lineup?
A really nice mascot.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I got for you. I mean, he's a decent player. You know, he'll make routine plays in the field. He'll run into a big, you know, a big hit once in a while, but he's, in my opinion, he's not an impact guy. Devin Travis will be sorely missed, and he was the one bright spot for me that I had seen. I my questions about second base had pretty well been answered. I love the way the kid plays the game. Love his approach. His swing is the type of swing that's going to keep him out of lengthy slumps once he learns. What to focus on when he walks, he'll be a dynamite player for years to come. But, you know, I love Kawasaki. He's fun to watch, and he's a funny guy. But at the end of the day, you know, unless you're getting it done at a high level, unless you're getting it done at a Devin Travis level, you know, he's a mascot in my book. So, I mean, fun for the clubhouse, nice to have around, a little bit of energy, keeps guys loose. And there's some value in that. But at the end of the day, if I'm a GM, I'd rather have a guy that can play.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it seemed to me in the last little bit, since they make that big trade with the Marlins, that depth has kind of been a bit of an issue. Are you concerned that there aren't a lot of plan Bs when it comes to the Blue Jays if someone gets banged up?
Well, it's like that all over the place. And the reason why is because they rush their kids to the big leagues. The pay structure, you know, kids get drafted in the first round. You're looking at seven-figure signing bonuses. I mean, and I'm not talking about like one. I'm talking about four, five, six, seven. We've seen some guys like Harper and Strasburg. There are no really good players at the upper levels of the minor leagues anymore. They're not as polished when they come to the show. They get rushed to the big leagues because general managers, scouting directors, et cetera, they need to justify spending that kind of money on a kid when, in essence, all it is the cost of doing business. You know, the cost of doing business in the big leagues is, hey, listen, we've got the first pick this year. It's going to cost us $6 million to sign a kid, plain and simple. After that, you got to treat them like everybody else. The problem is they don't. They coddle them. They give them every opportunity, more so than the guys that earn it. They rush them to the show to justify the pick, and they're not ready. And you've seen that a little bit with some of the pitching that they've called up in the Blue Jays organization. The kids aren't polished. They can't command their fastball. The guys can't get a bunt down. They can't hit and run. They don't hit cutoff men. They're sure talented. They look great in the uniform, but they're not polished, finished product baseball players. And you know what? That's why there's no plan B. And it's all over the game. They don't have depth anymore, because as soon as a kid does something at the minor league level, like, you know, upper A ball, double A, man, it's all over Twitter. It's all over the internet. And everybody's pushing to get this kid to the big leagues. And you know what? They get there, and most, if not all, take a long time to become really good players, and it's time that they should have been spending in the minor leagues. But nobody wants to pay that role player, that journeyman, you know, that $1.5 million salary, when they can pay a rookie who's got an exciting name, and we've already paid him $6 million. They're going to put him in the uniform and give him the chance to do it.
Awesome stuff, man. Some great insight into a lot of things. Enjoy the game tonight.
I will. Thank you so much.